Arizona's News Traffic and Weather Station. This is News Radio 620 KTAR. Now, it's Lovable Jay Lawrence.
Glad you're here tonight. Thank you so much for letting us be a part of your evening. We're going to be looking at the case against Diebold voting machines during this hour. Now, the reason I thought about it, well, I've thought about it for a number of reasons, and I've been reading about the case against Diebold with a lot of there is a lot of internet talk, more internet talk about Diebold than in the everyday media, and I think that's, that in and of itself is disturbing. We have a voter conflict here in Arizona right now. It's a conflict dealing with a vote in a particular district, a representative's district, in a recount of that vote, 489 additional votes turned up. The question is whether or not those ballots will be counted. And we've done a show on that already. We spoke with Representative Jack Harper about the about that case, and there is some interest that I have in that. In that, first of all, I have a great deal of respect for the county attorney, great deal of respect for Senate President Ken Bennett, and they oppose what Jack Harper is suggesting. That may lead me to believe that maybe there's nothing to it. However, just to prove there's nothing to it, and also Jack Harper's gone out and gotten New Times to finance an expert investigating the discrepancies, which I have a little problem there as well. But in the big picture, the overall picture of voting machines generally, there are too many places now in America that are saying Diebold, the votes at Diebold machines can be frauded, can be tricked, can be computer hacked. And with us online right now is Brad Friedman. Brad Blog is probably one of the most interesting, one of the most controversial of the bloggers on the internet. Brad, welcome. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thank you, Jay, and Happy New Year to you and all
the same.
Folks of Phoenix.
You draw somewhere between 500,000 and a million people a month to your blog.
Well, we do stay pretty busy there, and we catch a lot of attention on the internet and from the mainstream media because I think we're reporting on a lot of the stuff, as you mentioned in your introduction, that is not being adequately covered in the mainstream media. So a lot of folks are turning to, you know, blog sites like mine to get the news that the corporate media is really dropping the ball in reporting.
Once upon a time, we didn't place as much emphasis on the blogs. Who reads blogs? Who bothers with blogs? Who even has anything to do with these frustrated non-journalists? And yet, today, a lot of the good, incisive journalism that's being done with regard to things like Diebold is being done on by bloggers.
Indeed, it's being done by bloggers. That story on the desperate shape that our democracy is currently in this country, but as well on all sorts of affairs, from the Valerie Plame story to the NSA story. A lot of those have been reported on the blogs now for years. And a lot of folks in the mainstream media and others have been saying, oh, you can't trust that information on the internet. But, of course, we've seen how much we can trust the reporting from the mainstream media. If you take a look at, you know, the reporting that Judith Miller did for the New York Times leading up to the war. So, yeah, more and more folks are turning to the internet and the blogs. And, in fact, there was a study recently done by MyDD.com, took a look at the readership and compared readership of a group of blogs just on the left side of the blogosphere and compared it to the three major cable news networks. And, in fact, we've got as many readers looking at those blogs as we do looking at all three cable news networks combined. So I think it's vastly underestimated out there right now.
Brad, when did you get started on Diebold?
Let's see. I I was reporting somewhat in the summer of 04 about these matters as we were looking at the coming presidential election in November of 04. But it was really after the election when things just did not seem to add up on November 3rd of 2004. And I said, I sort of woke up. Actually, I went to bed the night before saying, you know, when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to check the exit polls, how they compared to in states that had electronic voting versus those that didn't, and see if there was a larger flip in the electronic states than in the non-electronic states. And in fact, the next morning I woke up and an excellent news site named called rawstory.com had already looked into that, and in fact found out that the big swings, and they all benefited George W. Bush, but the biggest of the swings happened in states where there was electronic voting. That was very troubling, and I've sort of been on that beat really ever since, and have, you know, reported on a lot of whistleblowers who have come forward to tell some rather shocking tales. In the meantime, we see more and more reason to distrust this secret software that is now being used to count American elections. It's very troubling, the privatization of our public democracy.
I am disturbed, basically, in states that say we don't need a paper trail. All we need is the touch on the computer. We don't need anything. Here in Arizona, we use Diebold machines as well. But also in Arizona, we fill out a ballot. We fill in a dark line between the head and tail of an arrow, and we cast our votes. It's placed into a machine that counts it, but if there's any question, you have a paper trail. There are too many places now, Brad, that want to undo any paper trail at all, and I find that not acceptable.
I applaud you for understanding that, because it seems to be something that people just don't seem to understand, that the mainstream media doesn't understand, that both political parties don't understand, Democrats and Republicans alike. You must have a paper record. Now, the fact of the matter is, a paper ballot should be the ballot of record for, you know, all election contests, so that when you go back, if there is any discrepancy between the numbers that the electronic machines record and what is actually on the paper, then you go with the paper. It's, it's really a no-brainer, and it's stunning the kind of fight that folks like myself really find ourselves in. You know, I began by reporting it, but the more I found out about it, the more I really became an activist and, said, what are we doing here with our democracy? We're sending out kids, men and women, to fight and die around the world, theoretically, to spread democracy, when our own democracy here is crumbling at an alarming rate. And you're absolutely right. You must have a paper record for every ballot cast in this country.
Brad, as I told you, for George W. Bush to win, I think that's great. I have no problem with the fact that George W. Bush was beneficiary of some of these instances about which you speak. However, I don't want to think that my president or any elected official is elected by some man who says, I'm going to get this guy elected, and I can manipulate the voting machines.
Okay.
Now, what did you find when you looked at the electronic voting and the differences in the exit polls?
Well, and by the way, you're exactly right. To me, it doesn't really matter who gets elected, as long as it's the person who received the most votes. It's not a matter of right or left. This is very clearly a matter of right and wrong.
Right.
Now, what we found is this was very early. This was on the next day, November 3rd, 2004. There were all of these swing states where they had done these exit polling, which are historically incredibly accurate, because it's not like a phone poll that you do, you know, several days before the election. This is polls where folks walk out of the polling booth and people say, okay, who did you vote for right then and there? The margin of error is something like 0.5%. Nonetheless, in loads of states, I believe it was 11 out of 14, they showed that they should have gone to John Kerry, and in fact, when the final results came out, all of these states ended up going to George W. Bush, which studies have come out since then, taking a look at those and finding out that the odds of that happening, of all the margins of error swinging so wildly as they did, only for George W. Bush, is something like 650 million to one. Contrast that, then, with a month or so later in the Ukraine, when we had the exact same situation. The exit polling company was also the same one that ran them here, Mitofsky Edison, and in fact, those polls showed that the challenger should have won, yet the incumbent won. At that point, George W. Bush and Colin Powell all came out and said that, well, those results, the exit poll results and the conflict with the final results show that there was fraud in that election. My head almost exploded when that occurred, because that's exactly what we saw here in the United States, and there wasn't a whimper about it. They said that, oh, the polls must be wrong instead of the election results.
All right, Brad, how can you rig a voting machine? Is it, how can a computer,
yeah,
or how can you hack these machines?
There are a number of ways, and in fact, it's not theoretical. It has, in fact, been done. Just, I believe it was about a week and a half ago in Leon County, Florida, the election director down there, they had, they used these Diebold machines. These were the optical scan machines, the type that do have a paper record. And in that case, that machine, they had a test vote. Can Diebold machines be hacked? And they knew in advance that six were going to vote yes. I'm sorry, six were going to vote no, and two were going to vote yes. Two of those happen to be, the two who voted no are computer security professionals. And in fact, they had hacked the memory card that is used to count those votes. So instead of six no and two yes, the final results came out seven yes, one no, and there was no trace left behind, at which time the election director down there said, we will never use Diebold in our elections again. That was down in Leon County, where the capital, Tallahassee in Florida, is. Other counties have since seen the results of this hack and have said, well, we're not using it either. Down in Volusia County, out in St. Louis County, Missouri, California, the entire state of California is now saw the results of that test and has basically sent it back, punted it back to the feds, if you will, to ask them to take a look at exactly what happened in this security breach, and, you know, to decide whether or not, in fact, these machines are safe.
Brad, let me take a very quick break. Yeah. I've got to take a break. Our guest is Brad Friedman, Brad Blog, and we're talking about the case against Diebold. If you have any comments or questions, our phone number, 277-5827, 277-KTAR. Once again, I've got to point out that though this looks bad for George W. Bush, for those who wanted to see him elected, I'm glad he got elected. That's my man that became president. However, I want to know that my man became president because all of the people in this country voted him into office, not someone sitting at a computer somewhere else. And I want to know that when our governor is elected, and I want to know that when our senators are elected, and our representatives, and the people that carry with us the hopes and dreams of a democracy, when they are elected, I want to know that they are the choice of the people and not the choice of a cabal, not the choice of some group that's very good at a computer. 277-5827, 277-KTAR. Do you believe what you're hearing? Do you believe that this is possible? Do you have any questions about voting in America? 277-5827, 277-KTAR.
We see them every holiday season. Those commercials where a luxury car with a big red bow waits in the driveway of the lucky recipient. Well, at your local BMW center, we don't need a big red bow because we have something better. The Kelley Blue Book. According to their most recent findings, BMWs are predicted to retain more value over the next 5 years than any other luxury brand. They also have the most complete maintenance plan of any luxury make. So a BMW is not only the ultimate gift, it's also a wise investment. And just think of the money you'll save on all that ribbon. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. For complete details on full maintenance, call 1-888-311-4BMW or visit BMWUSA.com. Projected resale value is specific to BMW's 2006 models. For more information, go to KellyBlueBooksKBB.com. Now through January 3rd, visit your Phoenix or Scottsdale BMW Center for attractive lease and financing options on the BMW X5 Sports Activity Vehicle.
Folks, Christmas is over. Now it's your time for year-end savings. Business owners, it's your last chance to beat the tax man for 05. Be aware, pending legislation could change Section 179 of the Federal Tax Code. Look, you can feasibly write off up to $100,000 on vehicles with a GVW of over 6,000 pounds. Please consult your tax advisor for all details. At Peoria Pontiac GMC, we want you to get the most in tax savings and not pay too much for your next car or truck. Pontiac Action and Professional Grade GMC start at $14,991 in a G6 or Sierra Regular Cab. Sierra Crew Cab Duramax 4x4 start at $36,991 and Yukons from $27,991. Peoria Pontiac GMC, 87th Avenue and Bell Road, family owned, family operated, family member on duty. Reasons why you need to be here. Prices plus tax, title of license, 269 Doc B, dealer retains rebate, OAC expires 12/31/05.
620 KTAR.
The first preset button on your radio.
620 KTAR.
Start your day with Arizona's Morning News.
620 KTAR.
Ned and Connie bring you the first news of your day.
620 KTAR.
Plus, get traffic and weather together every 10 minutes on the 6s.
620 KTAR.
Your favorite radio station is
620 KTAR.
News Radio 620 KTAR. Arizona's news, traffic, and weather.
620 KTAR.
News Radio 620 KTAR. This is Jay Lawrence. BradBlog.com. Brad Friedman's our guest. We're talking about the case against Diebold. Alan and Mesa, go ahead. You're on 620 KTAR.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I personally feel that election was rigged and Kerry should have won. And I also believe that Bush was involved in planning 9/11. And he should be impeached for war crimes.
I hope you can sleep well tonight now.
Oh, I can.
Good, thank you.
I'm telling you the facts.
Alan, thanks for your call. All right, once again, Brad, if indeed we can hack the machines, is there a way that we can tell if they have been hacked?
There are certain ways that we can get at those machines, but again, we've had a lot of problems doing exactly that. We've faced nothing but roadblocks in all kinds of states where there are various reasons to be concerned. For example, really the worst case of corruption, I guess is the best way to put it, that occurred in the 2004 election has got to be up in Ohio. And the Secretary of State there, J. Kenneth Blackwell, who was coincidentally the co-chair of the Bush-Cheney re-election commission, will not allow access to the various machines, to the various poll books, to the details of what actually went on, so we can't really get in there and take a look. He has gone out of his way to stop that from occurring. Same thing has occurred down in New Mexico, where some citizen activists have filed suit. And in fact, they are supposed to be allowed to look at the machines that were used in 2004. Now the election boards of election down there are blocking them from doing so. And you're going to see that. That suit has been sort of quietly moving forward, but you're going to hear more noise out of that as they are for the first time allowed to look and examine these machines that were used in 2004 to see if, in fact, they were accurate.
Has this been going on in America for a long time, or is it purely Diebold machinery? We keep hearing about, in fact, there's an investigation going on now in Iraq with regard to the Iraqi election. And elections all over the world seem to have been affected in some way by people who want to see the results come out the way they want.
Indeed, and that's an excellent question. The fact of the matter is that elections, folks have been trying to game elections as long as there has been democracy, really, and I suspect they always will. The difference that we're looking at here is the fact that when we use this secret software, for a start, it's accountable to no one. And I think you and I politically sort of come from different sides of the spectrum, although I didn't vote for John Kerry either. But You know, this would be the equivalent of you, Jay, telling me who you wanted to vote for and trusting that I was going to go into the booth for you and record it accurately and then count it accurately along with everyone in your family and your county and your state and just trust me, I wouldn't do anything untoward. That's what we do when we allow these private voting machine companies to keep their software secret. They don't allow anyone to inspect the source code of this software. So we have no idea if our votes are being recorded accurately at all. And that, frankly, is a scandal because this is, you know, these are our public elections and they should be completely transparent. But yes, you know, folks have been trying to game elections for years. The difference here, and this was, for example, verified by a branch of Homeland Security prior to the 04 election, they put out a cyber alert warning that the Diebold GEMS central tabulator was in fact had an undocumented backdoor and was open to a malicious user. One single user can get into that tabulator and change the results of any Diebold election. So instead of, you know, in the old days where you might have had to have a large conspiracy of folks, you know, attempting to stuff the ballot box with paper or something, now one person can change the results of any election. It's, you know, it's terrifying. And in fact, as I say, the Homeland Department of Security warned about it prior to the election. And just 2 months ago, we had a 107-page report come out from the nonpartisan Governmental Accountability Office, in fact, confirming really all that I have been saying and others like me for the past year, that in fact votes were completely lost in recent elections due to electronic voting machines.
All right, now that we've got a government agency that says this has happened, where is the major media's anger? Where is the anger over this? What is happening with Diebold, the company itself?
You know what? Well, I'll tell you, that's two different questions.
Yes.
There. The first one, Jay, I can't tell you where the mainstream media is, other than perhaps they're ashamed and embarrassed that they haven't reported on this for, you know, the past year or more, and that they've called folks like me conspiracy theories and, you know, tinfoil hat wearers and everything else. Out comes this 100-page report from the GAO confirming pretty much everything that I've been reporting, along with it, by the way, a bipartisan news release was issued lauding the report from three Republicans and three Democrats, high-ranking in the Congress. One of them was James Sensenbrenner, and the other, and another was John Conyers, both the ranking members of the Judiciary Committee. You can't get these guys in the same room together these days, much less to get them to sign off on a press release together. Nonetheless, when that report came out, 3 weeks went forward without a single report from any major, from any newswire or any major mainstream newspaper. It was astounding. They didn't even put out a report saying, hey, the GAO came out with a report on electronic voting machines today. They didn't even give it that much notice. Why? I can't tell you. You decide. Your second question was what was going on with Diebold?
Well, yes.
About 3 weeks ago, I reported...
Tell you what, I've got to take a break. Our guest is Brad Friedman, bradblog.com. I'm Jay Lawrence on News Radio 620 KTAR. Do you believe the stories that you're hearing? Is this conspiracy theory, the tinfoil caps to keep the waves from coming in and changing your mind? Is it more than that? Is it something that suddenly you feel concerned? Our number is 277-582-7277-KTAR.
Coverage around the clock from Arizona's news, traffic, and weather station. This is News Radio 620 KTAR.
It's 7:30 and 61 degrees here on News Radio 620 KTAR. Good evening, I'm Mike Salceda. An Oklahoma fire major says it's been extremely intense fighting wildfires today. Dusty warm wind has fanned a rash of grass fires across the state. Emergency officials say at least a dozen fires are burning. And officials say the flames are encroaching on homes. Let's get an update coming to you next from ABC.
20 fires sprang up in Texas, forcing some evacuations, and at least a dozen grass fires are burning in Oklahoma. The Oklahoma City Fire Department's ordered evacuation of several people on the city's northeast side because of a large wildfire. Oklahoma Governor Brad Henry is asking for a federal disaster declaration so Washington can send help.
Even though our firefighters and first responders have done a fabulous job fighting these fires, that the danger is not over.
One of the 20 grass fires burning in hot, dry Texas is in Carbon in Eastland County, where evacuations are ordered. Three houses are destroyed. The fire threatens about 200 others. More rain, flooding, and mudslides triggered by a second major storm in the northwest. San Francisco's KGO weatherman Lloyd Lindsey Young.
Thunderstorms are in the forecast. We're definitely forecasting locally heavy downpours with convective-type thunderstorms in all of Marin and Sonoma County. Basically, Northern California will not be out of the woods until Tuesday.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Farah Sassan is back home in Florida after his remarkable trip to Iraq. The 16-year-old cut school and headed to the Middle East December 11th. He turned up at the Associated Press Bureau in Baghdad last week. Family members met him at Miami's airport tonight. President Bush is starting off the year defending spying in the U.S. He told reporters in Texas the warrantless surveillance is limited. He says if somebody from Al-Qaeda is calling, the government wants to know why. Speaking to reporters following a private visit with wounded soldiers at Brooke Army Medical Center in San Antonio, President Bush criticized the media for exposing the program.
There's an enemy out there. They read newspapers, they listen to what you write, they listen to what you put on the air, and they react.
Health officials warn that 2006 could be the year of a bird flu pandemic. Health and Human Services Secretary Michael Levitt tells CNN's Late Edition it's not a matter of if it will come to the U.S., only when.
The virus continues to spread in wild birds across the world. There's no reason to believe that at some point it would stop. That means that ultimately it would find its way to the United States.
Colts beat the Cardinals 17-13 in weather for our valley. Calls for partly cloudy conditions overnight, lows 41-51. Mostly cloudy, 71 tomorrow. Tomorrow night, a 20% chance of rain, lows 44-54. That chance of rain continues Tuesday morning, and we have a high of 76 predicted. Right now, 60 here at KTAR, 65 at the airport. With team coverage around the clock, I'm Mike Salcedo on News Radio 620, KTAR.
I am the port in the storm.
I am the line in the sand.
I am the rescuer in the dark.
I am the enforcer of the seas.
I am the defender of the homeland.
In the United States Coast Guard and Coast Guard Reserve, you are the first line of defense against threats to our American way of life. To become one of us, call 1-877-NOW-USCG or visit GoCoastGuard.com.
We are the shield of freedom. We are the United States Coast Guard.
Sponsored by the U.S. Coast Guard in cooperation with the Arizona Broadcasters Association and this station.
We're all creatures of habit. We get in our cars and we drive to the office.
But before you clock in at work, you'd better punch in with us.
Make 620 KTAR the number one preset on your radio. We deliver traffic every 10 minutes on the sixes
to help you get there on time.
Bring you the latest from across the state
with the largest radio news team.
And we cover the world
with the vast resources of ABC Radio News.
News Radio 620 KTAR,
the first button on your radio.
This is the sound of a bully at school.
Where'd you get the shirt? Colorblind and things?
And this is the sound of a kid telling her parents about the bully. If you don't hear about it from your kid, that doesn't mean it's not happening.
McGruff the Crime Dog here about how parents can tell if bullying is upsetting their children. Kids may avoid school. Grades may suffer. Stop bullies with words to your kids, school officials, or other concerned parents, and at McGruff.org.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
It's more than shock and awe.
Gets it on the seal, gives it underneath. Come here, and wham, bam, wham.
It's more like drop a jaw.
Over baseline, laid it in. That's what we wanted to see.
It's more than run and gun.
Jim Jackson, and he lays it in and scores.
It's more like run and fun.
Give it the knife. Shoot that.
Don't miss out on the most exciting fun film. Sun season yet.
Here's Variant. The Matrix drops it through. Jackson's going to come up, put up the shot. It's
gone. It's the fun, believable Phoenix Sun.
Oh, do you believe it?
Only on News Radio 620 KTAR.
News Radio 620 KTAR, this is Jay Lawrence. Thanks so much for letting us be part of your evening. Brad Friedman, bradblog.com, is on with us right now. I've been reading all about Diebold on his and other websites. Diebold is in trouble. Diebold is facing decertification in a number of places. What about the company itself? There are some changes going on there as well. Are there not, Brad?
Indeed they are, and there's a big company in trouble, although I should point out that between Diebold and ESNS, which both have been run by brothers at various times, the Yurosevich brothers, both between those two companies put together, they count more than 80% of America's votes. Now, Diebold itself has been the target of a lot of folks who are concerned about fair elections because their CEO, I should say their former CEO now, famously sent out a Republican fundraising letter promising to deliver the state of Ohio to George W. Bush prior to the election. And he was a big, big contributor, a pioneer ranger for Bush Cheney in 2004, meaning he brought in more than $100,000. That has certainly drawn the focus towards Diebold and their bias, unfortunately, towards one party over another. But yes, in fact, about 3 weeks ago or so, I had reported at bradblog.com that a securities fraud litigation suit was coming against Diebold. That was on a Thursday. The following Monday, Walden O'Dell, that CEO I talked about, resigned suddenly. And then on Tuesday, in fact, the securities fraud litigation suit was filed. And that was the same day that the hack down in Leon County that I mentioned, Leon County, Florida, had also happened. And the company seems to have been unraveling since then. As a matter of fact, we can push that back a few months ago when I reported on an anonymous insider who I've been in touch with, a Diebold insider, who is anonymous, so I used the name Deep Throat to discuss this source. Just a few days after I did my first report on Deep Throat at bradblog.com, Diebold's shares stock fell 15%. So this is a company who's right now in a lot of trouble, and I suspect it's going to be more so as we move forward, especially since that hack was discovered, and it was discovered, in fact, that these Diebold machines use something that is called interpreted code, which is, in fact, against the guidelines set out by the Help America Vote Act of 2002. Somehow, these Diebold machines got certified at the federal level despite having this banned code within them.
Can you explain that code at all? Do you understand it well enough to help us to understand it a little bit better?
Yeah, I do, a little bit. Essentially, when you have computer code that is used in these machines at the federal level, it is certified by the Independent Testing Authority, which is essentially two different testing labs, which are chosen and paid for, by the way, by the voting machine companies themselves. Nonetheless, they're supposed to look at that code, test it, make sure it works, that it's accurate, and that it does only one thing, the thing that it's designed to do. The problem when you have interpreted code, which it was found to be existing in this Diebold software, that essentially means, in layman's terms, that the code, the software, will do pretty much anything you tell it to do when you feed it information later on. And that's something that you can't test because you don't know what is going to be told to the computer later on, which is exactly what happened in that Leon County hack test. They gave instructions to the computer, which was then interpreted, and it, in fact, ended up changing the results of that election. I hope that makes sense.
It is impossible, in my mind, it is impossible for a company to hack voting machines, for them to be responsible, unless a number of people know this secret that's going on. And as soon as you have a number of people, you have blackmailers, you have people that are going to squeal. Somebody is going to squeal. How are we finding out about some of these things, Brad?
Well, we've got a lot of dedicated folks like myself, folks like those over at blackboxvoting.org, professors, reporters like Mark Crispin Miller, who has put out a book on this, and many others, who keep digging and digging and trying to find out what's going on and try to get the word out about what's going on. As we mentioned in the last segment, the mainstream corporate media has not been very helpful in spreading out, spreading this news. So I congratulate you on having me on to talk about this because I think it is so important. But it's really, at this point, Jay, up to the citizens to make noise, to call their boards of election, to send letters to the editor, because the media is not going to do it, the politicians are not going to do it, and in fact, if you don't mind, I ended up developing, co-founding an organization by the name of velvetrevolution.us in the wake of all of this, and right now, we've got a link at the top of the page at velvetrevolution.us. It'll take you about 60 seconds to fill out. What this will do is send a letter to the Election Assistance Committee and the Independent Testing Authority that I just spoke about, and sending them a letter demanding that they withdraw the certification for voting machines that use this dangerous interpreted code, the interpreted code that, in fact, flipped the votes in Leon County, Florida.
Brad, how many voting machines are all of the Diebold machines? Do they all contain that, or is this something that is relegated to just a few?
Well, this is what we need to find out, but we know for a fact that they that this code is in the central tabulators. It appears to be in the touchscreen systems, and so we need to. And it was missed. It was missed by the Independent Testing Authority that should have caught this in the first place. So we're asking now that they go back and check all of these machines, all of them made by Diebold, all of them made by ES&S and the other companies that they have given certification to, and go back and check if this banned code is in fact in the software, and if it is, to immediately withdraw certification. This is a grave threat to our democracy, Jay. I wish I could say, oh, it's a small conspiracy theory. You mentioned that before the break. I don't report anything that is rumor. When I report something at bradblog.com, I back it up with documentation, with records that I've gotten from public records requests and so forth. All of the stuff that I'm talking to you about tonight is verifiable, is confirmable, and if anyone gives it an honest look, they will be terrified for what this bodes for our democracy.
All right, Brad, once again, those places that have now had investigations and are now either decertifying or considering decertification of Diebold machinery.
Well, the entire state of California decertified the Diebold touchscreen machines last year, 04, because, in fact, Diebold was installing uncertified software. They now went back and gave it another look over the summer, because Diebold said that they won't do that anymore, and they made changes since they settled a multi-million-dollar settlement with the state of California in 2004. So in the summer of 2005, then, the new Republican Secretary of State went back and did the most massive mock election test that's ever been held on these machines and found that, in fact, 20% of Diebold touchscreen machines failed to operate as they were supposed to. The screens froze up, the printers jammed. And so, you know, they decided for the moment anyway against recertification for these machines. Inexplicably then, just before Thanksgiving, the state of California decided they were going to give Diebold yet another shot, and we're talking about recertifying them in time for the January 1/06 HAVA deadline, Help America Vote deadline, and that is in fact when this hack was discovered, and California, the state, decided to send it back to the feds for further testing. So they're facing trouble in California, certainly down in Florida, where several counties have already decertified them, in Pennsylvania, in St. Louis County, Missouri. Really, all over the country now, they're looking at them in the state of Maryland. All over the country now, boards of elections and states are looking at these machines and saying, hey, what the heck have we gotten ourselves into?
Brad, I thank you for your time. I'm going to leave some time now. I think maybe people haven't called but because they're afraid to insult you. They're afraid
I would love to be insulted by them.
I know, but I'm going to do this. Thank you. I hope we can talk again in the future. I'll keep watching bradblog.com for all of the continuing information on the Diebold chicanery, if indeed that does exist.
Thank you, Jay.
There is so much questionable. Thanks, Brad. Thanks for your time.
I appreciate it, and I hope folks will pay attention to bradblog.com and sign up for that petition at velvetrevolution.us. It's important that the citizens take this matter into their own hands.
Thanks, Brad. Our phone number right now is 277-5827-277-KTAR. I'm amazed that you haven't had anything at all to say. Maybe you don't want to hurt Brad's feelings by telling him, oh, come on. Sure, just, what was the movie, the conspiracy theory movie, where the guy says everything is going wrong, and in reality, it really was going wrong. What was his name? Why can't I think of his name? Yeah, the Mel Gibson movie. That was exactly right. Do you believe what you're hearing? Do you believe any of this? Are you at all concerned? Does anything... Hello, are you there? Hello? Are you at all concerned about voting machines in America? Are you all concerned, at all concerned, or do you think that Brad Friedman is a kook and that all of these other places that he has named, all of the blackbox.com or any of the other places that he named, are... Everybody's trying to find something wrong with the president, and nothing is wrong. Well, the president didn't do this. The president isn't sitting there at a little computer working it out. But somebody somewhere is doing something with voting machines. Do you believe that that is true? First of all, do you believe? Are you upset by any of it? 277-5827-277-KTAR. Back to the phones in a moment.
Does your luxury vehicle come with full maintenance covering the cost of any needed service? Of the top five luxury brands, only BMW has a plan that does. Maintenance on our competitors can run into the thousands. You see, BMW covers your entire vehicle, including wear and tear items, for 4 years or 50,000 miles, whichever comes first. Just drive your BMW to an authorized dealer and it'll be serviced. No additional charge. Plus, usually a BMW only needs to be serviced every 15,000 miles. So maintenance isn't just included, it's convenient too. BMW full maintenance. Full coverage, no extra charge. Oh, and don't forget what it's covering. Beyond maintenance, there's full maintenance. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. For complete details on full maintenance, call 1-888-311-4BMW or go to bmwusa.com.
Now through January 3rd, visit your Phoenix or Scottsdale BMW Center for attractive lease and financing options on the BMW X5 Sports Activity Vehicle.
Meet 620 KTAR's Tony Snow at the January 6th Phoenix Forum Luncheon at the Biltmore. 620 KTAR and the Greater Phoenix Chamber of Commerce present this opportunity for you to meet Tony. Hear what's right in America and the world today. Aside from his radio show on KTAR, Tony is a political analyst with Fox News Channel and a syndicated columnist, providing a humorous look at Washington. Listen to Tony weekdays 9 to noon and ask questions on January 6th. Buy tickets at 602-495-2182 or click the events page at 620ktar.com.
Folks, Christmas is over. Now it's your time for year-end savings. Business owners, it's your last chance to beat the tax man for 05. Be aware, pending legislation could change Section 179 of the Federal Tax Code. Look, you can feasibly write off up to $100,000 on vehicles with a GVW of over 6,000 pounds. Please consult your tax advisor for all details. At Peoria Pontiac GMC, we want you to get the most in tax savings and not pay too much for your next car or truck. Pontiac Action and Professional Grade GMC start at $14,991 in a G6 or Sierra Regular Cab. Sierra Crew Cab Duramax 4x4 start at $36,991 and Yukon from $27,991. Peoria Pontiac GMC, 87th Avenue and Bell Road, family owned, family operated, family member on duty. Reasons why you need to be here.
Prices plus tax, title license, 269, duck fee, dealer retains rebates, OAC expires 12/31/05.
This is News Radio 620 KTAR. Jay Lawrence, lines are full. Let's get to your calls as quickly as possible. Bradblog.com. Brad Friedman was our guest and pointed out all of the problems with Diebold machinery, voting machines. Do you believe it? Do you believe it's just some fluke, conspiracy theories trying to make the president look bad? What are your thoughts? Mike in Ahwatukee. You're on 620 KTAR. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Jay. How are you this evening?
Good. What do you think?
Like you just said, your phone lines are filling up. I think we were all just collectively picking our jaws up after hearing all that. But I'm sure you'll hear a few calls about it now. That is incredible.
It is amazing. And the more I read about it, the angrier had become that nobody has just raised the roof about it.
And without checking into what he's saying, I really felt quite well about the way he used the word factual, a fact. You know, I mean, he, like you said, he researched it and he wouldn't. So it probably is out there, and I'm interested. I'll probably read up on it as much as I can, but I'm glad to see that it's coming in the spotlight now.
Mike, thanks. There are a lot of people. It is not just Brad studying this. Kate in Scottsdale, you're on 620 KTAR. If it's true, are you upset, Kate?
You know, I really am. This is an excellent topic, and it's not a Democrat or Republican topic. It's a voter fraud topic, and I think if the reverse were true, everybody should be outraged. It's been documented in obscure things, and people are trying to discredit it, but if the GAO is saying it, and if there's an issue about it, I think it should be stopped and examined and really taken seriously. And right now, I read in the paper last week that Jan Brewer is buying these, and I don't understand why, particularly with everything coming out.
With everything we're learning about Diebold machines, I would want such a complete investigation. I would want computer analysts galore to let me know that there is no problem with these machines, that nobody can hack them, and right now, nobody is saying that.
And voter fraud is unacceptable. Why are we buying these machines if they're at risk? I mean, why are we doing this? I don't understand.
Kate, thanks for your call. Bill and Gilbert, you're on 620 KTAR.
Evening. How you doing?
Good. Thanks, Bill. How about
Does
you?
Does anybody remember that Stalin was the one who said that he who controls the vote counters controls the election?
Interesting.
Now, number two, I'm a retired engineer, electronics type.
Yes.
And I used to work for Intel. I find none of this surprising. What I do find surprising is that the American people are so gullible that they will allow somebody to talk them into an electronic voting machine to begin with. And, of course, the real horror story is they want to go to voting on the Internet. And if you want to talk about being able to completely control and rig elections,
that would be the absolute ultimate way to do it.
Bingo. Our entire democracy is under assault, and whoever's assaulting it is winning at this point, because so many people are involved in the business of trying to make a living, they're not watching what's going on, and we're asleep at the wheel as a public.
You know, that's interesting. Everybody is worried about the corporate profit machine, and
yeah,
if we can present a better way of doing something, what appears to be a better way, and make money for the corporate machine.
If you believe that there is such a thing as a computer that can't be backdoored, you're insane or you're an idiot.
Yeah, but would you mind, or rather, Bill, would you mind getting together with me with regard to my checking account? Well, never mind. Thanks a lot, Bill. Good to hear from you. Barry in Phoenix, you're on 620 KTAR.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Okay. He kept on referring to California, but the last time I checked, Arnold Schwarzenegger's propositions that he wanted to pass all failed.
That's a great example. That is a good example of, well, what it's a good example of, by the way, is some foolish moves by the state of California, by the voters of California. They kept the all-powerful teachers union costing a fortune for the state forevermore.
Yeah, but
if the governor, if he could have controlled the election, wouldn't he have had the votes go a different way? That's
yeah,
a great question.
Exactly. Thank you, Jay.
Barry, thanks for your call. Terry, you're on 620 KTAR. The phone number, 277-5827, 277-KTAR. Do you believe the things you've heard from Brad Friedman?
Of course I do, Jay, because the head of Diebold before the 2004 election guaranteed the state of Ohio to George Bush, and you had precincts giving more votes to George Bush than people actually voting. And the reason people aren't talking about this is that the corporate media isn't talking about this. Most people don't even know about it. You have to listen to left-wing radio to even hear about
this. I would not call me left-wing radio.
Well, like I said, they were the only ones who've been doing anything about this. And the reason Jan Brewer is wants to buy these machines is because the head of Diebold guaranteed Bush would win in Ohio, and Jan Brewer wants to make sure he'll guarantee that Republicans will win in Arizona.
Oh, I don't believe that's true. If I ever thought that, I know Jan Brewer. Jan Brewer is as honest as the day is long. There is no conceivable way that Jan Brewer is making a purchase to assure an election in the state. You are so wrong, Terry. I'm sorry.
I disagree with you totally. Thanks. Know Jan Brewer, too.
Thanks for your call. Zach, you're on 620 KTAR. Hi.
Hey, look, I'm in computers. This is a bunch of hoo-ha. I don't know that guy from what it is. Nobody ever guaranteed the state of Ohio to anybody. It doesn't make a damn bit of difference. There are any number of ways to back-check through these layers of algorithms and other operational mechanisms and applets and applications that are buried in that unit. There is no way you can steal an election with it. You'd have to have a tremendous number of people all on the inside. Not all of them are networked together. In fact, I don't believe there are too many that are networked together. You just can't mess with them that way. It's
you know, that's one of the things that I brought up, the fact that a single individual couldn't possibly do that. Now, in Volusia County, Florida, they were able to hack the voting machines. Is that possible on small levels?
They caught the hacking, didn't they?
Well, they told the people that they were going to hack the machines.
Fine. You can hack anything. You can also find it. You can see it. There's no hacker, I don't care how good he is, that doesn't leave tracks. You can find it, and those are independent machines. They're not very sophisticated when you come right down to it. So any hacking that takes place can be really found very quickly by people that know it. And Diebold is not about to blow up something. They're not in anybody's Republican camp. They're a business. They could care less if it's Democrats or Republicans. It's ridiculous. The whole thing, the whole concept is ridiculous.
So if it were done, and one of the things I brought up to Brad, wouldn't there have to be so many people involved in it that somebody is bound to tell?
Yeah, it's like the third gunman at Dealey Plaza. It's the same damn thing. I'm sorry, the guy got two lucky shots, that's it. To hack all this stuff would take a bunch of people, and everybody'd have to be in on it at all levels. And quite frankly, both parties would have to be in on it, the Democrat Party and the Republican Party. It's ridiculous.
Zach, thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. I appreciate your call and your thoughts. I'll leave it at that. It'll give us all. That's my job. That's our job. That's what 620 KTAR is all about. Giving you something. Brad is back. Yes, Brad, go ahead.
Yeah, Jay, I was listening to your, I believe it was your previous caller who mentioned
that. You were listening
that,
on the internet.
That the hack could be found, there's so many layers of security. He is absolutely wrong. There was no trace left behind. Nobody would have ever found that hack. Unless they had done incredibly sophisticated analysis of the memory cards and so forth.
I'm out of time, Brad.
Okay.
Thanks, man. Well, there it is. It's something for you to think about, something for you to just consider. And when you read it in the news, you'll know that you heard about it right here on the Jay Lawrence Show, News Radio 620 KTAR.